Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, your host with you, father of five, but also host of the program, deeply embedded in the War of the Worldviews. In fact, we are right now on D-Day, Omaha Beach, on the War of the Worldviews, and that's what happens, folks, when you engage the issue of education. It's not as if education is the all of the war, but it is the spearhead. It's pretty much where the war engages, and that's what we're going to talk about today on this edition of Generations, Faith, Family, and Freedom Breaking Down, but largely because of the ideas that bring about the consequences of 41% of kids born without fathers, up to 6% in 1960, 80% of kids leaving the faith. This kind of thing is happening because of the ideas that are taught largely through schools, through educational institutions. It's education that effectively frames the minds and the souls of the next generation. And those who have captured control of educating the minds and the souls of the next generation have pretty much established the destiny of the next generation. It's interesting, folks, that among the war over traditional marriage, it's a 51-49 split as to those that still support traditional marriage in this country. But if you interview people under 35 years of age, it's 65-35. If you interview people with a master's degree, it's 70-30. They want homosexual marriage because they've been educated to believe in that particular ethical theory. Folks, it's the schools that set the direction. And if you lose the schools, if you lose the minds of the children in the schools, then of course there is no use in fighting political battles in the next generation or 20, 30 years hence. It is the schools that set the direction for the nation. It is the schools that determine the socioeconomic political systems under which we will live. It is the schools, the educational systems largely controlled by the monopoly of the public schools that will really set the direction for the nation. And so if you lose the battles in the schools, you're going to lose the battle everywhere else. And that's why we bring up education often on this edition of the Generations broadcast. With me today is Mike Chapa, who's Executive Director of Christian Home Educators of Colorado. I served in that capacity for about 10 years. Mike just sacrificially stepped forward and say, hey, let me help you out here, and has been working in that capacity for about 9 months now. Mike Chapa, welcome to the Generations broadcast, my friend.
Well, thank you, Kevin. I'm excited to be here, especially to talk about the topic that you wanted to address today.
Well, education is a vitally important issue, and of course, with the public schools controlling about 90% of education in this country, that is, we have an $800 billion public school monopoly that controls education in this country. Folks, it's pretty difficult to establish any kind of a free market solution or any kind of an alternative solution to the monopoly that pretty much monopolizes the worldview that will be inculcated in the next generation. Homeschooling, Christian home education, is one particular option, and hopefully, I mean, we are working very, very hard to widen, to strengthen, to establish the homeschooling movement in the modern generation, which really got its start, Mike, back in the 1980s. I mean, this movement's been going now for how many years? 35 years, maybe.
About that. You know, it's interesting, the numbers that you pointed out there, the $800 billion or whatever the number is for the public education monolithic organization. Recently, when I was in Washington, D.C., lobbying for homeschool freedoms, you know, the message that we send to the legislators is very unusual to them. Yeah. We say we don't want any money. Just leave us alone. We can handle this on our own. We don't need those.
Yeah, we don't need your $800 billion. Please do not help us. Somebody comes to the door and say, hey, we're from the government and we're here to help you. We say, go away. It's very simple. Go away. We're doing just fine. Thank you very much. Can everybody say that? Go away. Thank you very much. We're doing just fine all by ourselves. That's something that a lot of homeschoolers have not learned to say. And it's interesting what happens, Mike, with the homeschooling movement. You get 2 million homeschoolers doing a fairly good job at it. Roughly 85-90 percentile points as far as the performance of nationally standardized tests. I mean, they are very much above the 50 percentile mark. They're doing very well academically, but at some point the government shows up and says, hey, we can help you with this.
And normally that is the door often referred to as the Trojan horse or things like that. And at first glance it might look very attractive. There may be some money offered. There may be computers or something along those lines, which is understandable why people would be interested in those things. But normally that opens that door to a government control. which means they really don't want God in the textbook. They don't want God in the classroom, and so that humanistic worldview will seep in through that avenue just the same.
Which was one of the most important reasons why we began to homeschool at the very beginning. It's interesting, when you begin to do something rather important, you engage the battle of the worldviews in the vitally important part of education, and you bring God into it, you establish a Christ-centered education, you bring parents into it, you bring in the principle of individuality, the government shows up and says, we love your homeschool, we love what you're doing here, let's help you with it, we want to take Christ out of it, we want to take a biblical worldview out of it, we want to take the principle of individuality out of it, we want to give you a box system, and we want to take parents out of it. We've got tutors to help you with this. And in the end, we sort of lost the vision.
And with that, they often say follow the money trail.
Yeah, very sure.
A lot of times the money may still be there for the public school system if you do a public school at home program or something like that. So they get the benefit of a lot of the money, and yet they still can influence and control. So it doesn't cost them as much because you're doing the work at home.
Well, we want to talk about the state organizations, of which you are a vital part, Mike. You are leading the Christian Home Educators of Colorado organization here in Colorado, and 16,000, 17,000 families associated with the organization here in Colorado, but there are organizations all around the country. Folks, it is the vanguard. It is the vanguard against the monopolized, governmentalized system that is ruining our country today. Folks, in just a moment, we're going to talk about the vitally important state organizations that are the backbone, the vanguard of the world worldviews in the area of education. Be back in just a moment. Stay with me.
Foundations of Our Fathers is a theme for the annual Christian Family Conference coming to the Denver Merchandise Mart June 17th through the 19th. Join hundreds of Christian families from across Colorado and attend a variety of challenging and encouraging seminars. Keynote speakers include Dr. Vodi Bakum and Kevin Swanson. Join us on Thursday, June 17th for a special all-day biblical family seminar. Visit the exhibit hall with curriculum from over 200 vendors, including youth entrepreneurs. It all happens at the Christian Family Conference, June 17 to 19, at the Denver Merchandise Mart, presented by Christian Home Educators of Colorado. Register today. Hurry and save on pre-conference pricing. For more information and to register, go online to chec.org. That is check.org.
Welcome back, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you, talking about home education and the backbone, the vanguard of the movement, which really consists of thousands of support groups around the country, as well as state organizations that do what they can. They put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into establishing a movement that right now services some 2 million homeschool students around the country. And those organizations exist in every single state around the country. I've been to something like 35 to 40 states around America, talking about homeschooling and engaging with the state organizations and doing what I can to encourage them. I speak to a lot of leadership conferences around the country. And, Mike, these organizations are vitally important. They are the lifeblood, effectively, of the national homeschool movement.
No doubt about it. You know, you mentioned before the idea that it's homeschooling in all 50 states. It's legal now as we go into another generation of this. And these are truly ministries of a parachurch nature that are combating against the secular mindset in education. And it's run by volunteers, mostly, who homeschool themselves.
Yes, exactly. And the volunteerism aspect, I think, is absolutely critical. Now, granted, we're up against an $800 billion public school monopoly. But Mike, this was the backbone of this nation at the beginning. We were a volunteeristic nation in the areas of charity, in the areas of church. Now, Germany was not. England was not. Scotland was not. There were other nations in Europe that were not. They did not establish a voluntaristic church
and to a lesser extent, charitable systems in America. We had this wonderful American approach to private organizations that were helping with immigrants and other charitable things. Marvin Alasky wrote an excellent book called The Tragedy of American Compassion. You remember that? That book came out about 15 years ago. But Alasky talked about the importance of volunteerism in establishing charity and establishing churches in this country, and that was the backbone. That was the backbone of freedom for the country. And now what we're trying to do is introduce the idea of volunteerism, not just into charity or just churches, but into the area of education. So that's why we have these voluntaristic, nonprofit organizations called ministries that are doing what they can, bringing families together, because this is the family jurisdiction. When we talk about education, it's not the church jurisdiction, not the jurisdiction of the state, it's the jurisdiction of the family. So we bring these volunteer families together in a largely ecumenical movement and establish these ministries. And as you know, Mike, we really try to commit to a Christ-centered biblical worldview foundation for an education for our children. And therefore, there is a little bit of a distinction between the non-Christian secular homeschooling. There are Wiccans that homeschool their children, as are witches out there and wizards that want to educate their children in a way they see fit. But that's not really our vision there. Our vision is more of a Christ-centered biblical view on education, and therefore you are the head of Christian Home Educators of Colorado, not Home Educators of Colorado. I mean, there's the difference there.
Right. It would just be HEC instead of CHECK.
Right.
If that was the case.
If you took the C off, you'd have HEC, and then we'd know where the whole thing would go.
And what's so exciting about CHECK and so many of the other state organizations that are out there, with Christ being the center and Deuteronomy 6 and these ideas being what's fueling them, as you mentioned, volunteerism, these families and these people give of their time, they give of their money, they recognize that it costs money to do things, they donate. They give of their skills and their talents, and these relationships are formed there. They meet others. You mentioned the ecumenical nature of it. That's one of the most exciting parts about it, is seeing the wider church, the remnant of Christ's bride that is out there. And as they come together, these relationships are formed and strengthened, and then they go forward and put on things like conferences.
Yeah. Now, Mike, give us an idea. We've got a state here in Colorado with some 16,000 families that homeschool. In fact, it's probably more than that. I mean, we have 16,000 on the CHECK database, as I recall, somewhere around there, plus or minus. And so you've probably got anywhere around 25,000 homeschool families, I'm guessing, in the state of Colorado. Now, with everything that CHECK does to provide conferences, intro seminars, and all the other things that you do, how many volunteers are involved in that, you know, blood, sweat, and tears? I mean, what do they give, and how many are involved?
One of the exciting things prior to becoming executive director is I worked as the volunteer coordinator, so I got to see firsthand the number of people in the database, and we exceeded 400 names of people who just in the last year or two have said they want to help out, and every year that's added to it, and we have stalwarts who have been doing this for 15-plus years, which is so exciting to see that come through. And the conference is still something that we see as perhaps our most important event for the year. It's still a critical turning point in many families' lives. They'll come to a homeschool conference. They'll hear a keynote speaker like yourself or Vody Bachum like we have this year, and a light bulb is going to turn on. And I call it the domino effect. Oftentimes, that's that first thing they see that needs a change in their home, and that leads to another and to another. And the homeschool conference, God just seems to be using them as a way to reach people, and we see these changes happen.
Boy, I see tens of thousands of people around the country who really are turning their hearts back to the Bible, back to biblical principles, back to discipleship. They begin to see a picture of what's happening to the culture, what's happening to education, what's happening to a godless nation that doesn't fear God, has never been trained to fear God, as they've been sitting in these classrooms for 12, 13, 14 years out of their lives. They're not worshiping God. They're not adoring God and praising God for his world that he's created in the science classes. And they begin to see, you know, that's a problem. They want children of faith. Children of character. They begin to get a vision for that. And as you know, Mike, it's important not just for moms. At the beginning, it was a mother's movement.
Right. Right, it was. And we're seeing such a change now. It's so encouraging. You mentioned intro seminars and some of the other things CHECK does. We'll have people, the numbers start to increase, and we'll see more dads there. It's so encouraging. And we're so thankful for all of the moms who have been so committed and so dedicated to see this importance of it. But it's exciting to see the fathers there, because we know that when the fathers get engaged and they lead their households well, with their wife as their sister in Christ, and when the two of them have a unity with Christ at the center in the home, we see that happen. So we're getting many more men come, and it seems to make a big impact when the fathers and when the men see that. And we realize every home doesn't have that. There's a lot of single moms out there, and Czech has a real heart for the single moms who are out there homeschooling and trying to make that happen. So as we go forward into the conference, we look for ways to try to bless, again, it's an ecumenical church community, but all the families are different, and we see breakdowns in families, and so there's a lot of encouragement that comes at the conference. There's a like-minded, you can see like-minded families and believers and learn more things.
You know, Mike, what's was different for me when I got involved in Christian Home Educators of Colorado back in the 1990s was the ecumenical aspect. I mean, that was interesting. I think everybody, to some extent, is a little involved in their own little ghetto of Christian existence, you know, and you get out into an ecumenical movement like the Christian Home Education Movement, and you begin to see that there are some great people from other denominations, and it may be, just maybe, the Spirit of God might be showing up in other denominations. I know it's difficult for people to realize, but I look into the eyes of many of these fathers and mothers and see a real love for God, a love for Christ, a love for the children, a love that just is on fire, and they want to teach their children God's word as they sit in their house, as they walk by the way, as they rise up, as they lie down. And it's cross-denominational. Now, again, there's a form of ecumenism that I would not be in support of.
Right.
Like the World Council of Churches, you know, these ideas, we all come together, doesn't matter what you believe in. But it does seem like there's a healthy form of ecumenism that does develop in some contexts.
No doubt. And we see this even in our committee that puts on the conference. You'll see people from all different church backgrounds. And one of the healthy benefits of this kind of ecumenism, as you talked about, is a lot of times people get, as you mentioned, in their ghetto a little bit. And then when they get a little wider eyes, they kind of go, you know, maybe God's doing some things in other churches. Maybe God's doing some things in some other areas. And that's very healthy. Sometimes to challenge us a little bit, to think a little bit wider, and to go forward to meet the needs of the whole community that's out there.
And to open our ears and listen. And that's been helpful, too, you know, as we begin to listen to other people from different backgrounds and we realize they have some things to teach us. And as you choose your speakers, Mike, and I know this is a sensitive issue somewhat, you know, it's a political issue somewhat, you know, you got to pick your speakers. And you put on something like 100 workshops. I mean, this is a huge deal. Something like 4,000 parents will be at this conference June 17th, 18th, and 19th here in just a week or so. And you speak, you pick the speakers for this, or you've got a speakers committee that picks the speakers. How do you do that?
You know, it's interesting. Mike Cheney, who runs as the operations director, does such a phenomenal job with running the conference and the team that he puts together and runs. As they choose the speakers, so much of it is about vision. You know, one of the things that Czech has always done, which I'm very excited about, and not all conferences out there will do this, but I think it's a good practice, is that the vendor hall isn't open during those keynote addresses. We would like the people to go listen. We think those keynotes have something very important to say.
Yeah.
And as I said this year with Vody Bakum and you giving the keynotes, we think you guys have something very important to say. We'd like the people to hear that.
Yeah.
And then they can meditate and mull over that as they go about the rest of the activities with all the workshops. And the vendor hall, as I said, will be there, which is a fantastic opportunity to look for curriculum and all the other things that are out there. So the keynotes are very important, and we'd like the people to be in there.
You know, Mike, 11 years ago, or 12 years ago now, when I started with Home Educators of Colorado, Christian Home Educators of Colorado, I remember somebody from Illinois, another state leader, said that people do not quit homeschooling for lack of curriculum. They quit homeschooling for lack of vision. And, boy, that's pretty powerful. And we began to really emphasize the keynotes and the vision aspects early on. As it turns out, 60 to 70% of people who start to homeschool will quit. That's what our numbers are telling us, which means that people start to homeschool, but after a while, the vast majority of them, or the majority of them, will say, forget Christ in education, forget the biblical worldview, forget the discipleship aspect, forget relationships, forget the character, the focus that we've been told. Let's just put them back into the public schools because we just can't keep doing what we're doing. People quit for lack of vision.
There's no doubt, and I'm glad you're keying on the vision. You built such a legacy that I inherited. I'm very thankful for that. The conference, as we say, the keynotes at the conference, they provide visionary talks. And the conference is not, as most people know, not the only event we do throughout the year. It's probably the most important.
Yeah.
But following up with that, CHECK does a lot of things throughout the year. And so the conference proceeds help to fuel that. For example, the Update magazine that we provide free of charge every quarter is just chock full of articles for vision, for encouragement, for practical things on homeschooling, and also an opportunity for Christian businesses to advertise among like-minded people out there. You know, one of the events that we're excited about coming up is right on the heels of the conference is the Friday after the conference. The conference is 17, 18, and 19 June at the Denver Merchandise Mart. And on the 25th of June at Spring Valley Country Club in Elizabeth, Colorado, we're hosting a fundraising golf tournament. And our idea behind this, again, is recognizing, you know, some men like to play golf.
Yeah.
And some men like to also donate to ministries that they value. And so we're going to provide them that opportunity. And so hopefully we'll have a good weather day and come on out there and do that. You know, you mentioned the seminars that we do. We have a bookstore, the independent school, the father-son retreat we do in August with Vision Forum.
Right.
The various bees that are out there, our day at the Capitol to remind our legislators that we do care and we really just want them to leave us alone. And so the conference is critical.
Yeah.
But as you said, people, a lot of them will quit, and they won't quit necessarily because they don't have the right curriculum. Isn't it interesting? Most people will change curriculums multiple times as they go through homeschooling. We're thankful they have the opportunity to do that. But they will quit for the lack of vision. And so CHECK stands at the ready to provide that vision throughout the entire year, sort of the marathon race as we go through it.
Yeah, and as it turns out, the conference makes up about 30% of what CHECK does. Nevertheless, that's an important 30%. For 3 days, you've got hundreds of vendors providing all kinds of curriculum and supplements for your homeschools and for your families, great reading materials, great character-building ideas. All of these things come in that humongous vendor hall that's about the size of Walmart. I mean, when it comes down to it, that's a huge vendor hall.
It really is, and it's exciting that there's opportunities for people to, after the keynotes are done in the general sessions, as throughout the day they can choose from different workshops or different tracks or paths, so there's lots of opportunity for them to choose the various things they're interested in.
I think what we're saying here, folks, is you got to get involved. Now, if you're going to leave the public school monopoly and you're saying, I've got to get into this free market, biblically-based, Christ-centered, free-from-government-control approach to education, I want to get involved as a parent, you're going to have to get involved. They're talking about a little more involvement than the, you know, once a month PTA involvement or once every 4 months show up at a meeting with a teacher. You've got to get involved. I mean, really get involved and of course, homeschool your own children, but I think also connect with other people, volunteer for some of these organizations, and really throw your lot in with us. So I think that's it, Mike. You've got to really commit to this whole different approach to education.
Absolutely. You know, we attract people from our bordering states, quite a few people that come to the Colorado Conference, and that's very encouraging. And that, again, recognizes there's a wider group out there. You mentioned the support groups. There's lots of opportunities for people to plug in. They may get a chance to meet more people who are there. So the conference serves as kind of a shot in the arm of encouragement, especially as we're in the summertime and people look forward into the fall. So we hope that they'll come out and be blessed with visionary talks and opportunities to fellowship with other Christians.
And if they'd like to get involved, they want to volunteer, or they want to be one of those 400 people that help put together a movement that is somewhat in competition with the public school monopoly in your state, whether it be Colorado or somewhere else, they want to volunteer their time or their money. I mean, there are something like 200 to 300 volunteers that bring money to the plate and really try hard to encourage this ministry and establish this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful option that is transforming societies and cultures and families. If they want to get involved and they want to get involved in something that's going to transform lives for generations to come, they can volunteer their time or their money and be one of those 600 or 700 people that keep this movement going in the state of Colorado.
And they can easily do that by sending an email to volunteers@check.org. They can go to check.org and call the office or stop by our Parker office. There's lots of ways to get through that. And I like the fact that you emphasize there's multiple ways to be involved. You can volunteer your time. You can volunteer your talents. And you can give money. You can do some combination of all of those. Clearly, it takes money to run organizations like this, but we're committed to being good stewards of that money. We like to say, you know, nobody in nonprofits, as a general rule, and definitely not in CHECK, is out there doing this for the money. Yeah. It's out of a labor of love and a love for our children and for the future of this country.
Let's just say this, folks. If you want to change the future of this country, if you want to change politics, if you want to change the socioeconomic systems, if you got a problem with what's going on in families today, if you got a problem with what's going on in our social systems, here's a really great idea. Change the way you teach ideas to the children, and you'll find different consequences in the days to come. And that's what we want to try to do with this Christian Home Educators of Colorado movement. And any kind of a battle where we're trying to bring a biblical worldview to bear in the way and the content of the education of the child. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to get involved with CHECK, attend that conference, again, June 17th through 19th, coming up here in just a week or two at the Denver Merchandise Mart. Join 4,000 parents at a wonderful conference with Vody Baca, myself, and quite a few other speakers at the Denver Merchandise Mart, June 17th through the 19th. Sign up right now at CHECK.org. It's very simple, CHEC.org. My favorite four letters of the alphabet, CHEC.org, is where you want to go to sign up for our conference in Denver on June 17th through the 19th. Well, folks, so we're just about out of time here. I want to thank Mike Chapa for joining us today on the Generations broadcast. And by the way, Generations is part of Christian Home Educators of Colorado. It's becoming a vital part, an important part of that. And we are extending across Colorado borders. We actually reach 80 countries around the world right now, Mike.
Wow.
So we're going to be big. Remember, there was an advertisement campaign that came out one time that we're going to be big. And we're getting a little bigger here, and a lot of people tuning into the radio broadcast that comes out of my basement here in Elbert County, Colorado. If you'd like to support the program, if you'd like to support the Generations Radio broadcast, become a partner. And we're looking for 100 volunteers who will give of their money to support this program, keep us on the air each year. And right now, it looks like the board is saying 49. We're almost to 50. We're halfway there, folks, to the 100 goal to keep this program on the air for the next year. Right now, we stand at 49. If you'd like to be one of these partners to establish this radio program for one more year to reach 80 countries around the world, all 50 states, and to encourage home education around the world, just donate to us, $10 a month, $20 a month, or $100 a month, and you can do that at my website, kevinswanson.com. Just go to kevinswanson.com and click on Become a Partner for Generations and be one of those 100 brave souls that gets behind this movement. Again, that's kevinswanson.com, and click on Become a Partner for Generations. You have been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast, friends. If you'd like to interact with the program, just email me at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear more about us at generationswithvision.com. You hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at generationswithvision.com. And you can sign up for an intro seminar or the CHECK conference, the family conference we talked about on this program, June 17th through the 19th, at CHECK.org, CHEC.org, which is our parent organization. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Kevin Swanson, and I want to invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.